You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby.
Quick note that the following episode of Canada Land may contain subject matter and language that some people will find offensive.
I'm Karen Pugliese, Editor-in-Chief of Canada Land. So the first time I met Molly Thomas, I gotta confess, it was kind of a guilty pleasure. The pleasure part was that I was meeting one of the best investigative journalists in the country. The guilty part, well, Molly had just lost her job and been laid off from W5. And that's kind of horrible. But on the other hand, it could be kind of good for Canada Land. Look, I don't need to tell you that we've been covering the seeming collapse of media in this country at Canada Land. We've been doing it for years. And the loss of W5 is right up there. It's the loss of one of the best investigative shows in the country. Anyways, back to Molly and my guilty pleasure. I took her out for coffee just because I thought, here's an accomplished reporter that we might be able to work with. To my surprise, Molly had her own agenda. She was shopping a story. Now, one of the things that you probably don't know is that when these media outlets shut down, a lot of stories die along the way. But Molly was determined this story wouldn't. So we met for coffee, and she pitched me her orphan story. And by the end of that coffee, she had me on board. Yes, I would sign up for a three-part series spanning three continents, something Canada Land had never done before. I would help her take out war insurance, something Canada Land had never done before. I'd insist that she go to hostile environment training, something Canada Land has never done before. So here's the first part of Molly's three-part series, Dear Taliban. Wait for it.
Good morning. It's 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Not usually when I would be awake, but my mind has been going on active for a couple hours at least. We're planning to send this letter to the Taliban, and I think my mind is just on overdrive. It's thinking about everything. It's thinking about all my accounts. It's thinking about my family. It's thinking about getting into the country. I'm not a very stressed out person, but I can feel, I mean, not sleeping is not normal for me, so my body definitely is thinking about this story.
I'm Molly Thomas, an investigative reporter and former network anchor. A year ago, I had my dream job. I was a correspondent for CTV's flagship show, W5. With the company behind me, I went after the most prestigious fellowship in Canadian journalism, the Michener Deakin Award, given out by... I needed the funds to get to Afghanistan and report on the only country in the world where women and girls can't go to school. I won that fellowship the same week I lost my job. I remember walking into the illustrious Rideau Hall. The extravagance of the occasion felt in the classical music and golden decor. I saw friends and colleagues from across the country. This is where every journalist aspires to be. My mom, brother, and sister-in-law cheering me on from their seats. And here I was, grateful, honored, but also trying not to cry.
The Michener Deacon Fellowship for Investigative Reporting is awarded this year to Molly Thomas for her investigative project on education in Afghanistan.
I wonder if the crowd could sense my anxiety standing there without W5. CTV knew I would receive this fellowship well before the ceremony. I had already spent months building contacts and figuring out possible ways to get on the ground. My layoff was part of a broader Canadian media trend. Newsrooms slashing budgets, cutting mid-level and veteran journalists.
Big job cuts at Bell Media. The company is cutting 1,300 jobs, closing several radio stations and television bureaus.
Bell Media is shedding hundreds of positions and letting go of some of Canada's best-known journalists.
Congratulations, Molly.
Sitting there in that room, listening to them talk about this giant project that I had now committed to, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm on my own. I've been a crazy journalist for 15 years now, and I've never followed a conventional career path. I've worked in 10 newsrooms, moved to 6 cities across 4 provinces, and brought stories back to Canada from 12 different countries. I've generally gone after stories that I think we hit on the headlines and we don't follow up on.
I'm Molly Thomas in Erbil, Iraq. We are 100 kilometers east of Mosul, another 100 kilometers north of Kirkuk, and just a 4-hour drive from Baghdad, all areas ISIS has been fighting for.
People in northern Somalia are largely pastoralists, so they are nomadic and they're caring for cattle and they're constantly on the move. But take a look around me. There's no animals, there are no people, there's nothing out here. And that tells us there's no food or water anywhere in this area.
We're in the Cox's Bazar region of Bangladesh, where almost a million Rohingya refugees are living right now. This is the largest and most densely populated refugee camp in the world.
These are the stories that months or years after, like, people forget. And I really have a problem with that in journalism, honestly. I think that in news, sometimes we hit things and we don't go back. And so that has been probably my most annoying trait as a journalist to every news director that has ever come across me, is that I don't let these things go. And usually if I wake up every morning and I keep thinking about the same thing, then I know it's something I have to do. That's what happened with Afghanistan. I'd wake up at night thinking about these girls. How can the Taliban not allow them to go to school? I'm more determined than ever to tell this story. So I set out to find a new outlet to back me. My Michener Deacon Award comes with $45,000. A good chunk of change to get started on this project, but with who? Remember, I just lost my job. Over the summer, I started approaching major Canadian media outlets I assumed would be excited to partner on such a prestigious fellowship. After all, I was bringing $45,000 in production money to the table. Many flat out turned me down or stopped responding. I had to ask myself, why? Too much liability? Maybe too much risk? Or worse, had they simply stopped caring about this story? Then I ran into Karen.
Didn't you pause to think that maybe without a big network behind you, you just shouldn't go?
That's Karen Pugliese, the editor-in-chief of Canada Land. She took me out for coffee shortly after I was laid off.
But you know, Molly, you don't have to do this. I mean, that's a huge risk for you to take.
In some ways, it gives me more opportunity because I can take this story so many more places than just one network. But maybe as a human being, as a woman on my own in one of the most complex and dangerous countries that exists, it's you have to definitely like be more careful and more diligent. Frankly, I want to go because, for whatever reason, the plight of women in Afghanistan is not making headlines anymore.
That's part of the story that you need to tell. You need to tell people why they're not hearing about it.
How? How do I tell that?
Make the problem the story. I think you start with you. You start with why this is important to you and how everything was set up and the rug was just pulled out from underneath you.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm skeptical. I'm supposed to make others the headline, right? But Karen could see a new way of telling this story.
I think we just tell people really honestly what's going on, like, in the industry and how complicated it is. I have never sent anybody to Afghanistan. I have no idea. I mean, I can imagine you're going into the Taliban. You're a brown woman. This is not going to be easy. So there's a bunch of things that you're going to need to do, Molly, to pull this off. I mean, you're going to have heat training, they call it, where they run you through all the scenarios. I mean, I don't know what happens if you go there as a brown woman and somebody decides that they don't like what you're saying. Could they kidnap you? Could they rape you? Could they hurt you? How am I going to get you out? I work for these press freedom organizations. I'll get you in touch with them and make sure that they know that you're going. But, like, we're not, you know, we're not a big unit here. Like, how am I going to know if you're in trouble? I'm going to need to be in contact with you somehow. We have to figure all of this out.
I'm trying to make contacts with different news organizations. I'm trying to make contacts with security organizations on the ground. I'm talking to hostile training programs.
And you're going to need a good fixer. We've got to find somebody who you can trust who's not going to turn on you and turn you in.
Yeah. I'm already making inroads in the Afghan community here, calling around to try to see who they know. And they really are my lifeline, Karen. Like, I know that from any country in the world. But when you're dealing with Afghanistan, it is another level. You know, I'm trying to explain to my family, too, like, when they're asking me, like, what is your plan? How do you get out? Like, I don't have these answers yet.
When you were doing your research, were you in touch with women already? Like, have you?
Yeah.
Like, during your...
Oh, yeah. So there's months of research already done. There are months of contact building already done.
So they're waiting for you to come.
The number one thing people tell me on the ground is the world has forgotten about us. And so when you tell someone that you have an opportunity, it's also your word. That is the care. That is someone from the West remembering these women. So yeah, it matters to me.
Yeah, I'm getting upset. I'm legitimately getting upset.
Why does that impact you so much?
Because I'm a Native woman. I've seen it. I know what it's like to have people end you and nobody to care and nobody to even go look for you. And now you've been in contact with these women and they're waiting for you. And that means that this story doesn't feel that far away from me.
I was on the phone in August 2021, pre-interviewing guests for a dog sledding documentary for W5. Yep, I said dog sledding, about as far away from Afghanistan as you can get. Out of the corner of my eye, I caught the chaos unfolding on TV. You couldn't look away if you wanted to. Thousands frantically corralled at the Kabul airport. I couldn't believe my eyes. A plane taking off on the runway with people clinging to the outside of the aircraft. These desperate souls would rather die like this than live under Taliban rules. As thousands struggled to escape, women left behind were at the mercy of the Taliban. So as a journalist 2.5 years in, I wanted to see the world the Taliban had created with a view through a veil so many are hidden behind. Hi, Mohammed. How is it over there?
Good. Everything is good, alhamdulillah, here.
That's Mohammed. He's a fixer.
I hope things are going well with you as well. I think it's morning there and evening. here in Afghanistan a couple of times.
Mohammed wears a lot of hats as a fixer. He arranges safe passage for journalists like me, finds trustworthy contacts, explains cultural nuances, and basically makes sure I don't get killed. My life is essentially in his hands. It took a while to even find him. I had been warned to not trust anyone.
So it is difficult, of course. But we are here. We will be at your service.
I can hear your kids, Mohammed.
Yes, I have 3 kids and my wife. They are around me. They hear and they are seeing me that what's he talking, what's he saying, because they don't know English.
I first met Mohammed through a video chat. He can't be that much older than me. He's, you know, medium size, a bit of a stocky build, dark brown hair. He looks like a dad. And it makes sense. I mean, he has 3 young kids. I can't forget that as we plan this trip. Here's the catch, though. Mohammed is not a journalist. He's a teacher. He's used to commanding a class full of teenagers, not necessarily negotiating with a Taliban member holding an AK-47.
Because this is my field, you know, as a teacher, as I have been teaching since 2013, many girls who are my students who are graduated.
But I don't have a lot of options. The journalism industry has been gutted in Afghanistan. Most journalists that worked with Western outlets fled for their lives. Fixers on the ground are now few and far between. So here I am, with a smaller outlet in Canada and a former school teacher as my fixer.
Only boys are allowed to come and they are not allowed to come. Some left their studies. They left their education, which is their basic right. And
because Mohammed has skin in the game, he's trying to get me into secret schools in Afghanistan, an underground network of teachers and students covertly defying the Taliban. But I have to figure out how to get into the country first.
But the problem is there isn't any regular system rules that they...
As a journalist, you can't just buy a ticket to Afghanistan. A visa? Canada has no consular offices there.
Okay, regarding the letter, you need to consider some sensitive issues.
Mohammed tells me that to get into Afghanistan, I need approval from the Taliban's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. That means writing a letter to the Taliban. Dear Taliban, it sounds kind of ridiculous because it is. I'm trying to write a letter to a group who doesn't believe women, especially brown ones like me, should show their faces, have jobs, or even speak. On top of that, the Taliban has been at war the last 20 years trying to get Westerners out of their country. Don't forget, 40,000 Canadian troops flew halfway around the world to fight the Taliban. So here I am, a freelance Canadian journalist trying to get in with a letter. Here goes. This letter is addressed to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Oh, if you didn't know, the Taliban has another name. They don't seem to like the T word, so while we know them as the Taliban, people inside the country know them as the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Karen had her own questions about the letter.
I'm just dying to know, what does one write to the Taliban?
I know, it's strange, right? It's strange. It's like people asking me, like, what are you doing this week? I'm like, well, I'm writing a letter to the Taliban to try to get into the country. People just stare at you like you're insane.
Dear sir, my name is Molly Thomas, and I'm a Canadian freelance journalist based in Toronto, Canada. I'm hoping to come to Afghanistan to highlight the massive food crisis many Afghans are facing. Okay, quick aside here. You didn't think I was going to tell them about my girl's education story, did you? Of course, I've already talked about all of this with my fixer, Mohammed.
Mohammed, like, how do I even approach this letter?
If you say that about the school, we are going to see what is going on the ground and the education, they will not accept that. It would be more effective if you put a humanitarian helps.
Here's a bit more from that letter. More than 17 million Afghans are in emergency need, and another harsh winter is approaching.
That will obviously be a part of the story, just not all of it.
Okay, so Mohammed, I want to go visit some secret schools. You know, how possible is that?
There are secret schools which are running right now. They should not be exposed.
Mohammed says we have to be extremely low-key, hiding our equipment and staggering our entrances.
We should not draw the attention of the local people. We should not draw the attention.
Every interview must be done anonymously. One misstep could mean life or death for these students and teachers already risking their lives to go to school.
Obviously, in writing this letter, we're leaving some things out, so we are taking a bit of a chance here. Are you worried at all? I mean, I'm happy to write the letter that way. I'm just wondering if that, you're saying this is the only way to get in.
Yes. Of course, we are worried about, you know, we cannot say that nothing will happen. It's a risky step.
A risky but calculated step. Will playing to the Taliban's needs be enough to get me into the country? I have no idea. Now, how the heck do I sign off? Sincerely? Take care? Warm regards? It sounds kind of weird considering the circumstances, but I do want to come off friendly. Let's go with that. Warm regards, Molly Thomas. Even though I've agonized over this for days, I'm not going to hit send just yet. I better sleep on it first.
Good morning. It's 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Not usually when I would be awake, but my mind has been going on.
Yes, that is the clip we started the show with.
Okay. The letter to the Taliban is ready to go. Well, let's push send. Ah, it's gone. It's set. Oof. So much to get us to that point, but it's sent. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. It's a weird feeling. Now it's out of your hands.
These are deactivation?
No.
Choose the account or profile you want to deactivate. Tap deactivate account. Why is it so hard to delete Facebook?
They do this purposely.
You might think the last thing I need to care about before going to Afghanistan is shutting down my mom's Facebook page. But once a group like the Taliban knows who you are, you're on their radar. You and your loved ones could be targeted by hackers or online trolls.
I think you need to change your passwords for all your major accounts.
Why? Why? Why do you think?
That's my mom, Mary.
I don't want anyone, you know, bothering you guys if...
She's not quite the most tech-savvy person.
So. Okay, I get it. I guess I have to do it.
Do you know how to, Mom?
Not really.
Okay.
We need to figure out how to do this three provinces away.
So my dad is a world traveler, and he's a pretty easygoing guy. We have very similar personalities. He's not scared of the world in any way. So my dad says, great, proud of you. Go get him. And my mom is crying in those family conversations.
My mom is terrified about this trip. She voices her concerns every time we catch up. It's usually when I'm making dinner.
Mama, you really want to go for this?
Mom, I have to go.
I guess you have a fellowship and so you have to do. But do you know how dangerous it is? Have you thought through this? You come from that part of the world. And I know how difficult it is to go there. And you still want to go?
I mean, I committed to do this thing. And I obviously care. I care about these girls, Mom. Like, people are not talking about them. We're not getting much about the, you know, the Afghan situation. And there are other journalists, Mom. There are other journalists that have been in and out of the country.
Yeah, but yeah, my girl, it makes a difference. No, it's very difficult for me to see you go.
She knows me. She knows how passionate I am about these things. She's a teacher herself, so she understands the value of education. So I know there's a proud side of her, but I know that, oh man, does she ever pray? She prays a lot. She prays a lot for me.
It just, I mean, breaks my heart to see my daughter going into those kind of places. I don't feel comfortable. At the same time, I know you have to go. I have to let you go.
I love my mom, but I can't dwell on her worries. All right, my mom's accounts are secured. Now I've got to focus on my own.
The last couple days, I've really been as per security advice. I'm locking down and securing all of my accounts. Uh-oh, what's my Instagram password?
I don't think the Taliban will take too kindly to my bikini photos in Cuba.
Oh my gosh, what is it?
Social media is what I've posted. What shows up on the web is what's posted about me. So I Google myself and look for profiles and write-ups that could cause problems in Afghanistan. Stories I've done about human rights, vulnerable women, or even profiles detailing my Christian faith. I had to contact every site administrator I could remember and ask them to hide these pieces. I even had to get the Michener to pull down every press release about my project. This whole story, especially as a freelancer, has become about mitigating risks, which honestly, you can't entirely avoid.
Okay, Mom. Do we think we erased everything?
As much as we can.
Okay. As long as you're safe with that,
yeah.
I'm happy to do anything for you.
Okay, Mom. Love you. Talk to you
Love
later.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
$45,000. Remember? That's how much the Michener Deacon Fellowship awarded me for this project last year. It may sound like a lot, but any production manager would cringe. Hostel training with travel, almost $10,000. Podcast equipment, just under $3,000. A fixer, another easy few grand. War insurance is a must. It covers loss of limbs, medical evacuation, or worse, repatriation if your body has to be sent home. Burner phones, gas, meals, vehicle rentals, and hotels, even hard drives. Don't forget the big kahuna price tag, airfare. Oh yeah, I don't have a full-time salary anymore. I'm now living off of a freelancer's wage. So how much do I put aside to just pay my rent? I've chased down other major news organizations that have gone to Afghanistan before. Several people have advised me to have private security tracking me on an app whenever I travel outside the capital city. That's an easy few grand just for a few days. Realistically, without a job, I can freelance a bit and likely stretch that fellowship money until March. But if I don't get on the ground and do this story, I have to give that money back. Basically, if the Taliban doesn't say yes, I'm on the hook for $45,000. I may be waiting on the Taliban, but I can't really wait on my preparation.
We do require any assistance, so they are crowded with people, so honestly, just remain seated. And as soon as they are...
I travel across the world to one of the highest-rated hostile training programs for journalists. It's a giant simulation, but it feels real. Early on, we're fitted with tactical gear, heavy helmets and press vests, and thrust fully into the field. Only to be surrounded by sounds you never want to hear.
It's a minefield! Come here! car? Is it safer for out of the car?
Yeah, it's okay. Stay, just stay where you are.
That's my colleague Gab.